June 4th, 1991, 1 p.m., Hearing Room 357, House Committee on Judiciary, Full Committee.
I call the Full Committee of the House Judiciary Committee to order. Today on the agenda, work sessions are scheduled. House Bill 2665, 2944, Senate Bill 376, Senate Bill 222. And that's it, right? One announcement to the members of the committee who are here, and hopefully the others will hear. It is the chair's intention that we will meet in full committee only on Tuesdays and Fridays unless there is some incredible, urgent, pressing need to call all of you brilliant minds together in one place for an additional full committee meeting. The subcommittees will continue to meet on their regular basis unless there is reason to schedule hearings on bills at other hours. All right? You bet. Let's see. We need seven people to go into a work session. We now have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
How to smile, will you? Crack your face. It makes you look better.
So Representative Parks told me he was working on some. No, he's working on some amendments. Representative Bryan. Representative Bauman. Representative Mason.
I like the lineup for the minority opponents.
No.
Representative Mannix.
Yeah. Let's get.
No,
one, two,
no.
Three,
I just
four,
we just
four,
opened
five,
up to
six,
talk about
six,
the schedule
six,
and
six,
other
six,
things.
Could be told. Let's
so maybe
ready.
We should
let's get ready.
Sit at ease here for a while until we get our seventh member.
Not gonna make that.
Perhaps the next person who walks in will make them a member. Deputize them.
Did I get a member? No.
Need one?
No.
Unless we have a volunteer from the audience.
No,
I bet we would.
No, I don't want you to give me any rubber bands.
You ask.
The committee will come out of recess, and we will begin with a work session on House Bill 2944. Learned. Counsel.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2944 was introduced, I believe, at the request of Representative Mannix. There are -3 amendments, which are the amendments that the committee should be referring to and which will subsequently need to be adopted. They do two things. They
you
create
say -3? I'm sorry, Councilor, -4. I've got to.
Should be -.
-4s are 22 pages long. I hope they weren't.
-4s.
-4s. Thank you.
The bill does two things. It creates new provisions which allow for the civil commitment of a person who's incapacitated as a result of alcoholism or drug dependency. And part of the provisions of the bill makes the person who initiates the commitment process responsible for the costs of the examination, investigation, and treatment, as well as reasonable attorney's fees. There also is a second provision in the bill which is related to the topic, which has to do with establishing the ability of a physician to transport a person from one hospital to another when they're on a two-person physician or a two-physician mental health hold.
Thank you, counsel. We have before us the -4 amendments. Their discussion of the House Bill 2944.
Representative, I guess, so moves the -4. Representative Edmondson, so moves the -4.
Representative Edmondson.
I didn't even see them.
Moves the -4 amendments to House Bill 2944. Is there a discussion of the amendments? Is there objection to their adoption? Hearing none, they are adopted. Is there further discussion on the bill as amended?
I know, but I don't have them. I need the -4.
Representative Kelly. Clark?
I have them now. I didn't have them. What are you doing?
Representative Kelly.
Get away.
Representative Clark. Representative Kelly Clark.
Well, I don't have an extra.
Representative Baum moves.
I guess we'd have to move
House this. Bill 2944 as amended to the floor. Do pass recommendation. Further discussion? Representative Sunseri.
Just a question, and I'm searching diligently to see if it was added here. There was a 2-year sunset. Council, is that in here?
Yes. Mr. Chair, Representative Sunseri, it is. Page 20, line 28, section 2 of the printed of the dash 4 amendments, sections 1 to 21 of this act are repealed June 30th, 1993.
And one further question. We cut from, I believe it was 120 days down to 90 days maximum internment in this facility. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And
that's
all. There?
Yes, that is also in there.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Sunseri.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Johnson.
Since Representative Mannix is not here, is there anybody else that knows why we need this bill?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Clark.
Well, the testimony that we received was that we don't currently have much authority to do anything with regard to late-stage alcoholics and people who, for whatever reason, don't have family or friends who can intervene and get them into treatment. And this provides a process for civil commitment of a person who is incapacitated as a result of alcoholism or drug dependency. The testimony we received in the, I think the intent of the bill is, and the reason it's needed is this is sort of the last option for these folks. This is kind of the last thing we do when we get to this point. There's some concern that perhaps it's a little bit aggressive, I think, a fair statement of the concern. And counsel, correct me if I'm wrong, the procedures that are followed here are not unlike those that are followed in guardianship statutes, for example, and there are some of the same safeguards, some of the same procedures. And there are a number of other states who have similar laws on the books. Most of the testimony we received, if I recall correctly, was from individuals in the inner cities who have to deal with late-stage alcoholics quite frequently, usually on the streets. And so this is kind of a last option for those individuals.
Representative Johnson?
How does the test for commitment in this statute or this bill compare with the test for commitment under ordinary existing law?
Counsel, well, let me take a shot at that. Section 2 sets out the standard, and what we did, we amended the bill quite substantially in Section 2. The relevant language reads, may be involuntarily committed under this act when it is determined by the court that the person is incapacitated as a result of alcoholism or drug dependency. A court must specifically find by clear and convincing evidence, and the clear and convincing evidence was an amendment that Representative Mannix offered to strengthen the protections of the individual. Clear and convincing evidence that, one, the person is an alcoholic or drug dependent person not capable of exercising independent judgment and whose health has substantially deteriorated. And then, or you've got paragraph 2 there. It basically has threatened or inflicted injury or on him or herself or another. But the I think the real operative language is in subsection 1 there. And again, it's clear and convincing evidence that the person is not capable of exercising independent judgment and the health has substantially deteriorated. So we're talking about late stage. This is not the kind of thing where somebody goes on a weekend binge for the first time and then they're hauled off.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, to the bill.
Representative Johnson.
As my understanding or my recollection from when I used to do mental commitment hearings, and maybe the law has been changed a little bit since then, but I recall the standard being that the person had to be a danger to himself or others. And paragraph 1 here doesn't mention anything about being dangerous to himself or others other than he's not making good judgments and his health is going down. So it seems to be like we're expanding the police power quite a bit here in terms of when the police will have the power to grab somebody off the street and force them to do something they don't want to do, even though they've not broken any laws. And I'll just make that comment and I know the chief sponsor of the bill is over here chafing it a bit to add a clarifying comment or two. The great clarifier is on, and is on our way, so on his way, so I'll wait and let, maybe he can convince me the bill's okay.
Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll make this comment, and then I need to go testify in another committee. But the concept of danger to self or others is wrapped up in subsection 2 of section 2. That magical language is not used, but clearly that's the same concept. And I'll let Representative Mannix take it.
Mr. Chair. Representative Baum, did you have some comment?
Well, I've done the same thing Representative Johnson has. I've represented people who should have been committed but couldn't because their problem was an alcohol-related, not a mental illness. And so I want this bill for that reason, because that guy needs to be in there. So,
Representative Mannix, thank you.
Well, that's, in fact, with a little history here, in a great burst of civil libertarianism, we went through our commitment statutes and made it virtually impossible to commit somebody who was out there, had driven themselves into the gutter, but could crawl out of the gutter enough to go somewhere to eat a sandwich or find a shred of clothes. And those kinds of people cannot be committed because they're not dangerous to others and they're not dangerous to themselves. They won't be dangerous to themselves for another week or two until they die of exposure or until the alcohol totally overcomes them. This is not a government intervention statute, however. This is a civil commitment statute that allows a private party who is willing to bear the burden of providing a treatment program to get that person into treatment. Under this bill, the individual or group which petitions the court to allow this kind of commitment is also going to have to show that they're ready, willing, and able to provide a treatment program. And it's somewhere in that gray area between someone who's committed crimes, someone who ought to be civilly committed. Well, there's actually a triage here. There are the folks who are just feel like continuing their alcohol problem or their drug problem. They want to be left alone. However, they have not reached the stage as described here, where they are beyond recognizing that they need help. This bill is addressed to people who are beyond recognizing that they need help, cannot discern whether or not in a week or two they're going to be dead or totally wasted. And it's for advocacy groups who want to help them and are willing to provide them with a treatment program, but it's got a very, very significant added level of protection. This is why we're not just using the standard civil commitment statute or the guardianship statute. And that is the review, the physician's review that's required in this bill will protect the rights of any individual. It's not just judicial review, but physician's review that's going to be very tough. And in that sense, it's almost tougher than the civil commitment statute. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Vice Chair Mason.
Two questions. One, I assume one with the carrier. Representative Mannix, I notice on page 7 of the bill that once this person has been notified that they're going to be committed, that counsel is appointed. Have I read the bill correctly? And who picks up the tab?
Petitioner has to be willing to pick up the tab for any legal defense.
Where is that in the bill?
We included that. I'd have to look at it.
It is in there specifically.
Yeah, I saw it too.
Section 3, sub 4.
That was line 13, page 4.
Sub 4.
Examination, investigation, and treatment occurred as part of the commitment, including any reasonable attorney fees.
And that, for the record, that specifically means the attorney's fees of the person appointed to defend.
That's right.
Okay. And for the record, what if the person seeking commitment disagrees with the bill sent by said attorney defending? I don't think they're going to be very disposed when they get your, if I might be a little bit facetious. They're probably not going to be too happy when they get Representative Mannix's bills because they'll put up a very vigorous defense. And they're probably going to resent your defense, and they're going to resent the fact that you're sending them that bill for
$2,000.
The court, be easy.
The
yeah.
court gets to decide what's reasonable, just as in any other litigation where there's an award of fees.
Is that right?
Yeah. Representative Clark.
And also the Code of Professional Responsibility is very clear that the lawyer's duty is to the client regardless of who's paying the bill. And so I don't anticipate it being any more of a problem than a number of other situations where the same scenario arises.
One other point, Mr. Chairman.
Mason.
On your standard by which you decide whether or not the person is going to be committed. It says that they've lack independent judgment, and then then it also says that their medical condition is deteriorated, and it's evidenced by one or of the medical complications. Does that mean that if someone comes in and they have a seemingly poor reasoning when they're sober, or when they're intoxicated?
May I respond?
Yeah.
It depends on how many hours of the day they're sober. Because if they're sober 20 hours of the day or 18 hours of the day or some amount of time so that they can make the necessary moves necessary to protect their well-being and exercise independent judgment, no problem. We're dealing with people in this situation, what we're trying to get at, are people who are rarely sober or not under the influence of some drug, that there's a constant haze hanging over them. And it's a judgment call. The judge has to make that judgment call. And there's a whole series. This is all in the conjunctive. One, you're not capable of exercising independent judgment as to your welfare, and your health is substantially deteriorated as evidenced by the presence of one or more medical complications. This has to be certified by a physician, and you need a more sustained treatment program than that provided by the outpatient services. And the judge has to find all of that by clear and convincing evidence. So it's not an easy process.
Further questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bell.
I wanted to ask counsel, do we have the dash threes included yet about the transfer? Because that was an important part.
I'm dealing with the dash fours.
I mean, but the dash fours contain the language about the transfer authority. It's in section...
Oh, I was looking for section 46. Maybe that's problem.
Section 23, starting on page 20.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions? Representative counsel?
Mr. Chair, I just want to respond to a comment made by Representative Johnson earlier. In 1987, Oregon Civil Commitment Statute changed, which has a provision in it now which is comparable to this, which basically indicates that if a person is deteriorating significantly but has not yet reached that point of being a danger to themselves or others, and there's sufficient documentation that person can be civilly committed for mental health reasons under Oregon law. So this is, in fact, very similar to current Oregon statutes due to the 87 revisions.
Representative Mannix.
I move the dash four amendments.
We've already adopted them, but we appreciate that motion.
I move the bill as amended to the floor.
Representative Mannix moves House Bill 2944 as amended to the floor. Do pass recommendation. Further discussion? Further amendments? Representative Bauman. Hearing none. Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Bauman?
Aye.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Representative Edmondson?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
No.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
No.
Representative Cesari?
No.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. House Bill 2944 is passed to the floor. Representative Mannix. Yeah. Rare opportunity to carry a bill.
May I explain my no vote, Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Representative Clark, yes, please come back at your earliest inconvenience. Representative Mason.
Well, I had some questions about the bill, but it was just called to my attention, and it happened near too late to do anything about it, that there is one anomaly in the bill vis-a-vis those attorney's fees on the fact that a judge may be the first person to... notify this person who's going to be committed, and indeed under the statute, and we're specifically looking at section 4, page 4, that inadvertently, according to Mr. Linden, could cause the state to be responsible for those attorney's fees for defense. And I don't know if I've articulated that right, Mr. Linden, but I put that in the form of a vote explanation, but I'm sure Mr. Linden will bring that to the attention of the Senate.
Yeah, right.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, go ahead.
Representative Mannix.
the only time the court's going to be responsible for attorney fees if the court on its own motion notifies itself in writing. And I just advise courts not to do that. The whole point is the moving party is the one who's going to be responsible for this. And the court should not on its own motion be initiating this process, nor should it have its staff initiate this process unless the court wants to start paying for this. It's not meant to be a tool that's available to the courts unless an outside party's come in with a pocket with money in it.
Thank you, Representative Mannix. Close the work session, House Bill 2944. Open a work session on House Bill 2665. Learn it.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2665 is another rare bill from Representative Mannix. It authorizes but does not require courts to suspend the driving privileges of criminals who use motor vehicles while committing their crimes. The committee needs to move the Dash 3 amendments. There is a brand new fiscal statement. It comes in your favorite flavor, indeterminate. I had some discussions this morning with representatives of the Motor Vehicles Division about their concerns with the bill, and they asked me to bring those up with the committee. Under current law, the division suspends the driving privileges of any person convicted of a felony for which operating a motor vehicle constitutes a material element, such as unauthorized use of a motor vehicle. That's a required suspension, and under this bill, that class of crime becomes a discretionary suspension. It's no longer mandatory, but the bill is much broader in that it now covers all crimes in which a motor vehicle is used rather than being a material element. And the division wanted to make sure that the committee understood the policy choice that it was making there. Second, the bill also requires the division to notify the driver of the suspension of privileges. According to the division, their ability to give notice is effective only half the time, often because of bad addresses supplied by the person with the driving privileges sought to be suspended. I would note, however, that my reading of the current law is that it also requires the division to do the suspending and not the court, although the original version of Representative Mannix's bill required the court to give that notice.
Thank you, Counselor. The Dash 3s are before us.
Sir. Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mannix.
I move the Dash 3 amendments.
Representative Mannix moves the Dash 3 amendments. House Bill 2665, discussion of the Dash 3s. Is there objection to their adoption? Hearing none, they are adopted. Further motion on the bill is amended.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mannix.
So moved. Do pass.
Representative Mannix moves House Bill 2665 as amended to the floor. Do pass recommendation. Further discussion? Hearing none. Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Edmondson?
Yes.
Representative Johnson?
No.
Representative Mannix?
Yes.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative Sinceri?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. House Bill 2665 is passed to the floor. Representative Mannix. We'll be asked for a little more airtime.
We'll keep it short.
Close the work session, House Bill 2665. Open the work session, Senate Bill 376. Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm tempted to say this is another bill Representative Mannix has offered to carry and close. Senate Bill 376 was introduced at the request of the State Court Administrator's Office. What it does is significantly revise Oregon's contempt proceedings to develop two parallel tracks, that one for punitive sanctions, one for remedial sanctions. There are Dash 13 amendments which require the committee's adoption.
Thank you, Council. Discussion, Senate Bill 376.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mannix.
I move the Dash 13 amendments.
Senator Mannix moves the Dash 13 amendments, Senate Bill 376. Is there discussion of the amendments? Is there objection to their adoption? Hearing none, they are adopted. Further discussion on the bill, Representative Mannix.
Move the bill as amended to the floor, do pass.
Representative Mannix moves Senate Bill 376 as amended to the floor, do pass. Recommendation, further discussion? Hearing none, The clerk will call the roll.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Baumann?
Aye.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Edmondson?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative Sinceri?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. Senate Bill 376 passed to the floor.
I got put on the work group.
What do they do there in this family sub? They just do.
They just send me out to work on these bills. That's all.
Representative Mannix, carry this bill, please. Thank you very much. Close the work session. Senate Bill 376. Open the work session. Senate Bill 222. Learned.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 222 was introduced at the request of the Support Enforcement Division of the Department of Justice. It makes primarily housekeeping changes to the support enforcement program, clarifying that both DOJ and the district attorneys represent the state in child support proceedings and are not parties. They also make certain confidentiality provisions applicable to obligor information. The subcommittee took the bill back last Friday for the purpose of adding one additional provision, which is to subject workers' compensation permanent disability benefits to child support obligations. Currently, temporary disability benefits are subject to garnishment only. There are A6 amendments which require the committee's adoption.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, counsel.
It's okay.
Hello.
Can't do it. The public entity doesn't get involved in the private situation when you've got changes based on guidelines. This has nothing to do with
that. This has nothing to do with that.
Thank you very much. Representative Mannix.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for that clarification.
That was 221.
Well, it gets kind of dangerously close to that.
Was it 221?
It was 221.
Yeah.
No, I think it was 220.
Well, it's been...
We amended it to the chair's satisfaction.
I get these calls. Representative Mannix.
Move the A6 amendments.
Armenian.
Representative Mannix moves the -6 amendments to Senate Bill 222. Discussion of the amendments. Is there objection to their adoption? Hearing none, they are adopted. Further discussion on the bill is amended. Representative Mannix moves Senate Bill 222 to the floor. Do pass recommendation. Further discussion? Hearing none. Clerk, call the roll.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Baumann?
Aye.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Edmondson?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative Sinceri?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. Senate Bill 222 is passed to the floor. Representative Baumann.
I had a feeling that was coming.
Do you mind?
Sure.
Thank you. Close the work session, Senate Bill 222. Anything further to come before the full committee? Learned? Learned two?
Learned three. Ain't learned at all.
Learned Cole, he's not here. He must be more learned than you two, huh?
Been a while.
Appreciate that. If not, we will adjourn the meeting of the full committee. The subcommittee on criminal law will start in 5 minutes and be prompt. Thank you. We're adjourned.